Exactly. Hit that caffeine. All right, here we go. Hey, truth be told, Captain Ron here for Tony Sweet, and we are at the 2019 UFO Congress. And Rebecca Hardcastle-Wright's been kind enough to sit down and talk with me for a minute. She, among many, 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 go ahead, you can go. Many, many other things. She's the leading expert in consciousness and extraterrestrial contact. She's the founder and director of the Nonprofit Institute for Exoconsciousness. That word, which was given to you, let's start right there. Isn't that mean that we all have the ability to have contact with ETs?
That's exactly what it means.
Interview's over. I've got this one nailed.
We at the Institute believe that humans have an innate ability. It's part of our consciousness. We have an innate ability to connect, communicate, and co-create, most importantly, with extraterrestrials and multidimensionals.
That's interesting. So all of the members of your group and yourself are all contactees?
Yes. We are all what we term exoconscious humans.
Exoconscious humans. Okay.
Yes. So what that means is that we are experiencers. It could be of a multidimensional nature, like an angelic being, or it could be an extraterrestrial type being, but that we have engaged and been contacted and communicated with these beings long enough that we are now able to consciously have contact.
You mean it's initiated from you as opposed to being initiated elsewhere?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
that's incredible.
Well, it kind of goes two ways. But we can initiate contact, and we expect to have a response.
Now, I have not heard much about that. I've heard these guys that can summon the UFOs.
Yes.
But I have not heard about the actual contact.
Yes.
And you're able to summon. That's incredible.
And just to be, and it takes time. It's not something that happens overnight, because a lot of times contact happens, and it just gets dumped in our unconscious. So we don't remember, or
right.
We have like little
screen
snapshots, or
right. Yeah.
You know, maybe unsettled feeling in our stomach. But what we as exoconscious humans have been able to do is take that experience and literally integrate it into who we are as humans. So the human is the key word, not extraterrestrials or multidimensionals. The key word is human. So who are we now as an exoconscious self? How has that ability within us to be conscious and manifest that, how has that changed who we think we are and how we operate in the world?
Yeah,
and how we live our life.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love this idea of you guys making technology and creating art and creating mm-hmm. things with extraterrestrials.
Right. We are co-creators, and that's the whole mission of the Institute, is to invest in and support exoconscious humans that are co-creating peer-to-peer, so on an equal level, peer-to-peer with extraterrestrials and multidimensionals. So we're not doing it by ourselves as humans, but we're doing it in a collaborative way of viewing consciousness, where we go out in the conscious universe, we make contact, we connect, we get information, and we bring it down to our 3D body, to our human body, and we do something with our contact. We don't just keep looking at our mark or, you know, reliving our contact, but we actually go out and we write music and we make art and we make brand new technologies. We make new science. We
I
make
think
new
this
education.
Is a great idea. This whole idea that a lot of the world doesn't accept this, obviously, as we know. But the idea is that, well, you know what? We're going to work with the ETs and
right.
do something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you think that ETs would be able to work with you and create some technology that would sort of show the rest of the world, look what we're doing.
I think that's happening. And the
really?
I guess the word seeded, S-E-E-D-E-D. So I was seeded, I believe, in this work with two major people in my life. One was Dr. Ruth Hover, who was here in Arizona, and she ran one of the longest running ET experiencer groups in the nation.
Wow.
And I was with her probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 years.
She passed away, I think.
She passed away.
Yeah.
And she was my mentor, my coach. She had a library 3 books deep.
Wow.
I mean, I just, so many things I learned from her. But the key ingredient that I learned from her was that when I left the group to go to work with Dr. Edgar Mitchell, when I left the group, I realized here's a group of 20 people, tops 20 people. all ET experiencers. And out of that group...
In Mitchell's group?
In Dr. Ruth Hover's group. In Dr. Ruth Hover's group. You know, multiple books. I don't know. 15, 20 books are written. People bring forth all kinds of medical technologies. And I'm thinking, 20 people? How do 20 people don't do that? You can get 20 people in a room and gather them maybe once a month. And, you know, they're not going to have that many books or that many, you know, inventions. It's just not going to happen. I mean, statistically, it's not going to happen. Then I went through that. And then I went on from Ruth. And I moved to Washington, D.C. and worked with Dr. Edgar Mitchell. We worked in Quantrac. So Quantrac was his zero-point energy organization.
Right.
We were studying zero-point energy. I mean, this is brilliant. Zero-point energy, consciousness, and extraterrestrial presence.
It's incredible.
And he knew that you needed all three ingredients in order to have this move out into culture. So I'm working with him. I'm working with these scientists from all around the world. And guess what? ET experiencers start showing up with these amazing inventions. They live out in some hinterland of Idaho.
And do they say that that's where they got
it from? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now see, why couldn't somebody, it seems to me this could be definitive proof.
Well, it's totally definitive proof. And
but I mean, you never hear it come out. You never hear like, oh, guess what, I invented this and I was given
it. That's because a lot of experiencers, that's why we formed the Institute, because a lot of experiencers are very frustrated because, you know, can you get a patent? Can you get investors? Can you move this forward? That's the whole purpose of the Institute, is to invest and support these people.
Yeah.
So that we do, and we call it literally building an exoconscious civilization.
And you and I talked about there's still this stigma and nonsense that goes along with this whole thing.
And that's how they keep things from moving forward. And they keep, and there's kind of this push-pull. And you know, there's a healthy aspect to push-pull because, you know, secret societies, for example, held a lot of technology that they didn't bring forth because they said, you know, during Blavatsky's time that, you know, well, human consciousness isn't ready for it. You know, they're not ready. So some of the push-pull, I think, is okay. But we just really feel as an institute, you know, if we can help you make a living and bring forth your invention.
Well, yeah, a lot of these people have had a hard time with this, so I think it's really great to help them, and if they could yet do something good out of it, it's probably therapeutic mentally as well.
And the whole purpose of the Institute is that we help each other.
Yeah.
So
plus, you built this little network among each other, even without the ET thing, just you have this group of people, probably like-minded people, help each other. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you worked on the free thing, the survey.
I did.
That is an incredible thing.
Incredible survey.
We touched on this. That survey is a long time coming. We know they did
five
that.
5 years.
No, I mean 50 years. I mean, it's like we finally needed someone to do this, and then Free did it. I thought, finally.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
And the qualitative, quantitative aspects of it. 5 years, over a time of 5 years, 4,200 survey people from 100 countries.
It's fantastic.
I mean, it's fantastic. So Ray Hernandez, who heads Free, reached out to me and said, you know, hey, Rebecca, I always say yes. I don't know. That's just my thing. I say yes. He goes, Rebecca, write a chapter for me on the exoconscious analysis of the Free survey. And I'm like, yeah, sure, Ray. So Ray sends it to me. And here's all of this dump of information. And I'm like, what have I done?
It's a lot of data.
Like, what am I going to write about?
Right.
So
right.
I literally just sat with that information. Probably for 3 days. I just kept reading it because I'm like, I'm not going to just kind of rubber stamp this. I need to listen to the experience. I'm a therapist, so it's like, okay, I need to listen.
Among other things, you have your resume's 17 pages. I skipped that part.
Yeah. So I thought, I need to listen to what they have to say. And it was just a remarkable time because after I listened to them for about 3 days, all of a sudden, everything was kind of like a gestalt, like a whole. It's like all of a sudden I'm like, I get it. And that information from that survey gave me so much weight and authenticity around exoconsciousness. One of the things I came up with as a result of that survey was immediately I saw that we exoconscious humans are CE6.
What's that mean?
So Alan Hynek invented the first three close encounters,
right.
that did you see the craft, did
right.
you communicate
Touch.
With the craft, or have, yeah. And then Jacques Vallée came out with CE4. So for Jacques Vallée, it was how did your reality change? Like, and he was comparing this whole continuum of consciousness, like how did your reality change? And then Stephen Greer, CE5, so what's this craft? Am I calling the craft? Am I having this mutual?
Well, he did call
yeah,
the craft.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm having this mutual communication with this craft. And all of a sudden, after reading the free survey, I'm like, what's really happening today is extraconscious humans, and they are CE6. And that means that their self has, as a human, their self has actually become conscious of this phenomenon, and they are actually doing something with it.
Interesting. Do you think, you say that this is that we all have this ability.
Mm-hmm.
Have you worked with people that want to contact ET and help them to do this?
I have done that some, but not a lot. I've been more of a sounding board and a listener for people that have had contact. But I do, sometimes it makes me, like people will come to me and it's like, I remember one man came to me and he said, I don't know, he was like in his 60s or something. He's like, I've been sitting in my backyard for 15 years waiting for them to show up. And I just kind of, you know, you just want to say, maybe
they're comfortable.
Not gonna come to
right.
your, yeah, maybe they're not going to come to your backyard, you know. Maybe you need to go into your psychic intelligence. Maybe you need to learn about your intuition. And maybe you need to open yourself with other forms of enlightenment instead of sitting in your backyard.
Waiting for something to happen.
You need to go out and become proactive.
Do you feel that consciousness happens in our brain, or do you feel that our brain is like a receiver that taps into the, you know, collective unconsciousness, like the
yeah.
Akashic record, if you will?
I think, as did Edgar Mitchell, I think consciousness is beyond the brain.
It is. And he thought that as well.
Yeah, well, because he wrote the whole quantum hologram that, you know, the quantum field is bringing us information, and that's, you know, we're processing it. But I believe that we not only receive information in our brain, I think that we also transmit it, and beyond that, I think that we actually co-create it, so we actually go in and change it with our consciousness.
Wow. What do you think the ET experience is? Do you think that it's physical beings from another star system coming here, or do you think this is the dimensional thing?
I think it's both.
Both?
I think it's always been both, and I think just maturing as a species and as a culture. One of the things that, I don't know, do you know much about star language?
Very well.
Okay. Well, star language, for example, it's spoken, but it's also written. So one of our projects at the Institute is called the Rosetta Stone. So it's talking about how we move star language mainstream, like the Rosetta Stone moved
sure.
hieroglyphics. So some star language is written in hieroglyphics. So when you work with symbology, a symbology language system like a hieroglyphic, you have to use your consciousness where you can hold that symbol, and that symbol can have levels, dimensions of meaning.
Hmm.
And they're all true.
Wow.
And they're all true. So that's why we talk a lot about exoconscious humans. We have multidimensional consciousness. So we can actually, when we go out into the field, we can pull information and assimilate it and bring it down into our 3D human body. And it's going to be true there, out in the field, but it's also going to be true here.
Hmm. It's interesting, some of these people want to contact ET. People that aren't experiencers want to sometimes. I feel like they're still careful what you wish for, because maybe you're not ready for it, or you know,
mm-hmm.
right? It's gotta be really hard.
And I also think that sometimes you may not emotionally be ready for contact, but you have it in your blueprint. Like that's one of the things that came out of the Edgar Mitchell survey, was the real strength of co-creation. That so many people in that survey were co-creators. They initiated the contact. they knew that they had a co-creative agreement to work with these beings. And it's our human responsibility to grow up and to emotionally be able to deal with it and not shut down and not go unconscious.
Right, you're talking about working with them. Like, so in general, or is there an overall message that ETs are giving to us that you think? Do you see a theme, an overall?
Yeah, I think part of the theme is it's part of the evolving, the humanity, evolving human consciousness, because it's not, some people draw this picture of, I call it like a hierarchical structure of ETs, where there's these brilliant ETs and they just know everything, and then the next layer is down below hierarchically,
well, of course we think
the stupid
that,
humans,
the
stupid humans. And I'm like, no, we are peer-to-peer co-creative beings that are working together. And if we as an Earth species who are genetically connected to them, if we're not progressing, they're not progressing. It's like in a family, you know, if you have one person in your family and they're not progressing, that is affecting you as a family. And that's no different. There's an entanglement there.
Yeah, they were talking this morning that this is a natural thing, a normal thing, and it's just part of our evolution to work with them and interact with them. It's like a normal thing. This isn't some, they're way ahead of us. These are coexisting beings, which is sort of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
It makes a very different point of entry for people. I mean, if you have a hierarchical, I'm stupid, they're smart point of entry, that's not going to go anywhere. That's just going to shut down the entry, because why bother?
Well, I think people do that in the real world. If we think of them as physical beings from another star system, they have the technology to get here, therefore they're smarter than us, because they would have to be. But if you think of it the other way, with the consciousness and stuff, then it's a little bit different.
That's true. And I think a lot of, and it really when you think about consciousness science, and I've been in consciousness science for, I don't know, probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, probably 15 years, not very long. But consciousness science as a science is probably only about 50 years old. Only about 50 years old. So, you know, we can think of a mechanical universe where things work at kind of like a clockwork, like a mechanics. Or we can think of the universe and cosmology as organic and alive and conscious.
That's harder to grasp.
And that's only really been happening scientifically. Sure, it's been happening with, you know, indigenous people and thinkers and that sort of thing, religious people, for much longer than that. But for science, this is really a new field. And we don't really have all the tools to deal with it. That's why I feel exoconscious humans are so important, because we are the kind of the vanguard that's trying to put ourselves out there and say, okay, cosmologically, I have a conception that this universe and the field of my mind is organic and conscious.
Is there an overall goal for this group? Is it to try to spread this word, or is it, what's the overall goal?
It's interesting because I was in Brazil 2 years ago. I go to Brazil to work.
Everything you do is insane. It's like every time you just throw this, oh, well, I taught a course in ufology. Oh, I was in Brazil. Oh, I examined this science thing. It's just,
so I'm in Brazil, and I'm giving a talk. Of course, it's being translated. So I say five words. They say, oh, it's back and forth. It's,
and they love
it's
this
a trick.
Down there, too.
Oh, they love exoconsciousness. And so a young man who lived at the headwaters of the Amazon, just a wonderful young man, gets up after I got done speaking and said, how do you know you're going to be successful? And of course, me, I can talk, so I just kind of like rattled off an answer. But truth was, that bothered me for probably months afterwards. I'm like, oh, how are we going to know we're successful?
Interesting.
And I was grinding on that question.
I love that he got through to you.
He really just caught me up short. And so what happened was, I had been, for the past probably 5 years, I've been studying transhumanism.
Okay.
So I started digging through.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I was interfering.
Good to see you.
We're going to take a brief pause to hug right now. As soon as the hug's done, we'll get back to the interview here.
Good to see you.
That's all part of the conference, folks, that you get that live feel.
Old friend.
That's part about being here. I think it's great.
And so I saw that this that people were writing about what a success, how they would know if transhumanism was successful. Like what the world would look like if transhumanism was successful. And I started reading their documents, and it truly deeply inspired me to start to think in that way. Like, what would our culture look like if exoconscious humans and the exoconscious civilization was
actually
successful?
Right,
yeah. And so I'm writing a book about that now.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah. So that's, and I'm really contrasting the two and saying, you know, this is what a transhuman civilization is going to look like, and we're all moving into it right now. We're all, some are more aware than others, but it's happening. The rollout's going on. But, like, what if this rollout went on? And what if they're really not that different? And what do we have to offer to maybe, for example, I just wrote a book recently, How Exoconscious Humans Guide Our Spacefaring Future.
In her spare time, she banged out.
And what that book was about was that how much the space sector needs exoconscious humans. I mean, if you're going to go into space, would you like somebody with you that's had missing time?
Sure.
Okay. Would you like somebody with you that was telepathic?
Of course.
And could talk if the computers went down?
Of course.
Would you want somebody that knew how to dissolve their body and re-embody it?
Of course. Nobody would ever think of this, but that's brilliant. Of course you would.
Yeah. So I kind of go through, in the book, I just kind of move through all these briefly, but then what I do is I contextualize the Institute into the space sector and talk about three primary ways that we could influence the space sector and why they need us.
The stuff that you think about is so amazing.
It's
like
fun.
Who would think, it's incredible that you think of these things. I really appreciate that you think about those things. I appreciate that you're writing books about it and spreading the word. And thanks for coming on Truth Be Told and sharing that with us.
Truth Be Told, I appreciate this.
This is Catherine Ron for Tony Sweet on Truth Be Told here at the 2019 UFO Congress. See you later. It's awesome. Exactly.